May the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A relatively famous passage this morning from the Gospel, from the book of Matthew, tells of our Lord going a certain way, and a ruler comes to him and shows has a problem in his house and calls forth. And one of the questions that comes up in this, especially if you read it in the context of where it's placed in the book of Matthew, is it comes not only after the calling of Matthew, but there are several questions on Jesus' authority, and there are several healing instances that happens at this time. The fathers of the church have always said that this is one of the early times where Jesus is establishing his authority, not only over the law, meaning that because they question him about fasting, and they question him about why does our Lord's disciples not do certain things and their disciples do, and he answers that based on who he is. But then there's also his authority over the physical as well with these healing passages. In modern Christianity, in modern America, we have focused more on the healing than what the healing represents. Now, I want to be very clear that I am not saying in any stretch of the imagination that miraculous healing does not happen. Okay? I believe in it. We pray for it. But we also understand that the miraculous side of that is not the goal of Christianity. And the miraculous side of that is not the goal of our Lord coming into the earth. Because everyone that our Lord healed and everyone that our Lord raised from the dead eventually died later. None of them are still walking around. And so there's always the understanding that we still have to go through death at some point or another. It may be delayed, it may be pushed back, but we do have to go through it. And so while we may see a physical healing as a manifestation of God's power and God's grace, we understand that it is only temporary in this physical world. And so the question that comes up then is, what is our Lord's ability to heal that which matters the most, and that which is the heart and the soul? Also, a question that comes up is, when we pray for healing or when someone prays for healing, well, why didn't it happen if it didn't happen? And oftentimes we try to put blame. And we either put blame on the person that their faith wasn't good enough. Or we put blame on the congregation that the congregation's faith wasn't good enough. Or we put blame on the person who prayed that their faith wasn't good enough. Well, here's the problem you run into. When you read the healing passages in Scripture, you don't know whose faith is being talked about. Just here in these two stories, we have a ruler and a daughter who has died. The daughter has no faith. She has not said, "Lord, I believe you can do this." The ruler does. And so it's the faith of someone else. Then we have this woman who comes and touches the hem of his garment. And it's her faith. And he says, "Your faith has made you whole." Later we understand, we read the parable of the story of the friends of the paraplegic that lowers him down through the house. And it's the faith of the friends. So, if we pray for healing and we are honestly and sincerely praying for it and it doesn't happen, we do not need to assign blame at that point. Because it's probably our faith is there, we just do not understand why our Lord did not heal. And what we need to do in those situations is, how can I do what God is calling me to do? How can I be the person that God is calling me to be in that instance, even if the physical healing does not take place? Because remember, our Lord came to bring spiritual healing first and foremost. And that is the most important thing that we can have. Now, we understand. We are physical beings. And the world that we know is physical. And any time we are afflicted by some infirmity, that is hard to get through, and it is hard to live life when it doesn't maybe seem unfair. Again, our Lord understands, and our Lord comforts us in those times. But we must never lose sight that it is not the physical that is the most important. It is the spiritual. And we have hope that one day our Lord is going to make everything right. And one day we will all be given glorified bodies. And those bodies will be whole. What they will look like, we don't know. Probably a lot like the ones we have now. Except they will work forever the way our Lord intended them to work. So when we look at these healing passages that show up all throughout, it should come not as to question our faith, but to supplement, to give us a strong foundation, to let us know that yes, our Lord does have the power to heal. And yes, sometimes we experience that. But we've got to go beyond that. It's more than just a physical manifestation. Almost every time when our Lord healed someone, He told them, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. In fact, when He heals 10 people of leprosy, only one comes back to thank Him. And we assume that the other 9 just went off on their own. Our Lord understands that if all we are focused is on the physical, then that's all we'll be focused on, is the physical. And sometimes when we see great miraculous power, that's all, it never goes any deeper than that. And once that underpinning is taken away, we will walk away as well. Remember, of all the people that followed Jesus at one point in His ministry, He turns around and looks at the 12 after everybody else has left and says, are you going to leave me too? So part of the assumption is even the people that saw Him do great miraculous works, even the people that may have experienced His great miraculous works, could not take His teaching and then walked away. And only the 12 were left at that point. So our Lord is calling us, even with these miraculous things, even knowing that He has not only power over the law, but power over the physical as well, to come deeper. To experience the true healing of God that's not only physical, but is spiritual as well. That touches the very depths of our hearts. That touches the very depths of our soul. That we can, at all times, in all places, and in all stations of life, worship and praise and give thanks to the God who holds what is most important in our hand. That was His message to the people then, and it is the message to us now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.